Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates, and another great day on Faith and Family. Wrapping up the LCMS convention here in St. Louis, and great to have our staff joining us back here in the studio this week, so we feel like we're a full family again, and we'll be talking about families today, and we get to talk with a great family here on Faith and Family today. They're a lot like you and me, those folks who work a regular, crazy, busy job and have youngsters, and they manage to keep it all together. We're going to talk with Amy and Billy Bellins here in just a little bit from Florida. If you would like to join the conversation in the studio, you can do so today as well. You can call us at 314-821-0850 if you're calling from the St. Louis area. Outside of the St. Louis area, you can call us at 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email us in the studio at family@kfuo.org. Faith and Family is underwritten by Concordia University, Wisconsin. To find out more about Concordia University, visit our website, kfuoam.org, and go to the sponsor section. Look for the logo for Concordia University there. Just click on their logo and you can find out a lot more about them. So, Faith and Family, all week we've been talking about parents in demanding careers, and tomorrow we'll wrap that up. But today, we've got another great family to talk with, Amy and Billy Bellins, who serve in a variety of ways. So welcome, Billy and Amy.
Hi, Mr. Bates.
Hey, great to have you with us. It helps when I remember to turn on the right things on the board so that everybody gets to hear you too, not just me. So, thanks for joining us. Now, you've been, your families are, Billy's family, I think, is originally from the Florida area, and Amy's family, not necessarily Florida natives, moved from Chicago. Is that right?
That's right.
Did I get that right, Billy?
Yeah, my parents were not born in Florida, but I've been here pretty much all my life.
So you're enjoying the beautiful weather. What's it like there right now in the Tampa area?
It's hot and rainy.
Hot and rainy. Well, it is 78 here, or 77 here in St. Louis today, and humidity is only 45%, so be jealous.
I don't think that's appropriate to brag about that, Andy.
Well, tell us a little bit about, you both serve in a variety of careers, and they get busy at various times at certain times of the year. Billy, you're an accountant and an account manager. Tell us about that career and how you got to that career.
Well, I was in college, and I didn't really know what I wanted to do until Amy suggested accounting to me, and I kind of went that route and figured out that's something I could do. I like math, and so I went that route, and I've been at this job here for going on 11 years now for a great firm here, and I just mostly into tax returns and bookkeeping, and like you said, definitely busy during different parts of the year.
So your busy season would probably be, what, February through April?
For the most part, yeah. And then there's different times, different quarter end, July and October and even January, I guess. I mean, November, December is a little bit slower, but the way our business is, we stay moderately busy, but there's definitely peak times where we are busier during those other times, too.
So always working numbers and facts and data, always staying busy with that. Amy, you started off, well, tell us about your career path. You're a teacher, but you're not in the classroom as much anymore. Tell us about that.
No. I've been a teacher for the last 11 years. I went to school to be a teacher. My degree is in secondary social studies education, and I've worked at public high schools my entire career. A few years ago, we're one of the largest school districts in the entire country, really, and we applied for a grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and our district got the grant to start a full-release mentoring program for first- and second-year teachers, along with some other changes that our district was going through. But as part of the mentoring program, I applied to be one of those mentors. So now I am released from the classroom. We say we're on educational deployment, out doing a special job where we get to coach, be instructional coaches to people who are just starting their careers. And I've done that for the last 4 years.
So prior to that, you were mostly in the classroom. Prior to making that change, you were mostly in the classroom. And I remember that you, during the summer, you got to travel a little bit because of your teaching. You got to take students because you were teaching, what, AP World History, and got to travel abroad. And that kept you busy. Yeah. And so now you're traveling probably a little bit more, but not necessarily around the globe as much, huh?
Right. Right. The last couple of years, I've seen a little bit of a change now that I don't work as closely with students, so my travel is usually more job-related. So I do a lot of traveling recently that has to do with getting professional development that I bring back to the district to either share directly with teachers or to just share with other instructional coaches.
And what was your most recent trip? I think you were in D.C., weren't you, just this week?
Yes. I got home last night from a 5-day trip to Washington, D.C. I was at the AFT convention in Washington, D.C. called Teach, where we learned all about, we did some professional development that we could bring back home to share with other teachers, but we also learned about unionism.
Now, when we say unionism on this station, unionism can have more than one meaning, I guess, around here. When we're talking about unionism around here, it's probably theologically, and that's about joining with other teachings or other confessions. You're probably talking about a different kind of unionism, I bet.
We are talking about a different kind of unionism. We're still talking about joining together, but we're talking about joining together as education professionals.
In a good
sense.
Joining
together first as teachers, but then also working with our community to make teaching and learning conditions better for everybody.
So this is the good kind of unionism.
Yes.
All right.
I like to think so.
So and what are the busy times? What are the busy seasons for you, Amy?
Oh, that's a very interesting question. You know, it's a bit of a misnomer that teachers are off during the summer, because the summer tends to be one of the busier seasons for us, too, because since we don't have to be in the classroom with the kids, that's when we do all of our professional development. So I keep a pretty busy pace during the summer. But then, you know, the beginning of the school year is always busy. And the end of the school year is always busy. But in this current job I have, we also have some peak times during the school year where we do observations, where we're out and we're doing feedback for teachers on their practice. So those times of the year tend to be very, very busy. So pretty much all year, Andy.
So all year you're busy. And Billy, you know, it sounds like you're pretty busy most of the time, but even super busier during the tax season. So what's a typical week look like in the Balance household from Sunday to Saturday? What does it look like?
Well, Sunday we start off by going to church, and we kind of just do something fun after church, usually, even if it's just swimming in the pool at home or just going to a theme park or something with the kids. And then the real fun starts Monday through Friday for work purposes. Most mornings I usually take the kids to school, unless Amy can go in a little bit later and she can take them so I can come in early. Then we just kind of rotate throughout the week, depending on who picks up the kids based on our work schedules. But for the most part, it works out pretty good. But we definitely stay busy during the week, just depending on what's going on for either special trainings for Amy or just different things for my clients at my office. But usually on the weekends, we try to do more family stuff. Thankfully, we don't have to work. I mean, tax season for me is a little bit different because I do have to work on Saturdays. But thankfully, here at my job, the owner here is also a family man, and he lets me come in early and leave early if need be, so I still have most of the day. Or if I am also the coach for my son's baseball team, so I get to go away for a couple hours for there and come back later if need be. So thankfully, the weekends work-wise usually are not that demanding for the most part. We get to try to do as much as we can family-wise on Saturday and Sundays.
Billy, what are your work hours like during tax season? Are they just crazy?
It kind of depends, and again, I kind of have a flexible schedule, thankfully. But I mean, if I don't have to take the children to school, I'm in here by 6 a.m. sometimes, and it kind of depends too. If I got to pick up the kids, and I'm working 6 to 4. But if I don't, then I might work 6 to 6, 6 to 7. Thankfully, I'm not here working 80 hours a week. But again, if I come in later, then I might be here till 10 o'clock at night too. Not too often, but I mean, if you do it once a week, it wouldn't be too surprising either.
So certainly having a understanding boss or employer is to your benefit here, having someone who understands the value of your family.
Absolutely.
And family time together.
My owner here, he has 5 kids himself, and he's a good God-fearing man as well, and he definitely understands the the joys of having a family. And from what I've gathered, as long as I can get my work done and I'm here for the most part while we're open, he's very understanding, which I'm very grateful for that as well.
It's been a real blessing to us because my schedule, believe it or not, once I stepped out of the classroom, my schedule became much less routine. So when Billy's making reference to it depends on what I'm doing that day, you know, how early he can go in, it's because my schedule really does change on a weekly basis. I'm always at school between when school's open from 7:30 to 3:30, but sometimes I have to be there a little earlier. Lots of times there are things that are going on in the evening. I do a lot of training for our professional development department, for our union, and for some other departments in the school system. So remember, you can only train teachers when the kids aren't there. So I typically have to pick up some nighttime jobs, or I pick up some jobs on Saturday. So Billy and I have to really communicate to figure out how we're going to make sure that our children are being cared for and that they're with family and that they're, you know, getting all of their needs met, because that's the most important thing, and that they do get to see us.
And how do you, we talked with a family yesterday and about how we talked with a firefighter and with James, a firefighter, and Corey, a stay-at-home mom, and how they tried to communicate throughout the times that James was away or at work. And, you know, they used texting and they shared a Google Calendar. What are some of the things that you all use to keep things, to keep that clear communication going?
When I was thinking about this interview today in the shower, I was like, you know what I think I should say is, thank God, literally, thank God for technology, because I can't imagine doing what we do without texting and cell phones.
Yeah, Lauren and I use, my wife and I use a Google Calendar, and that's what James said yesterday too, that they share a Google Calendar, which is, you know, it's something like that, a calendar that's in real time that you can both access from a mobile device, has been a huge help to us in keeping things in check. And I'm sure with the little one on the way.
Billy's sitting across from me and he's shaking his head and pointing at me. He's telling me to get the Google Calendar. I'm like, oh, I don't like that thing.
So what do you have to say, Billy?
Filling out the calendar on the wall at home. So if I put into my calendar, it's an extra step for me, but it keeps me in check. So
there's a fight over the paper calendar versus the electronic calendar. Is that what you're saying, Billy?
Yes, I'm a little more accepting with she's very good at technology, but she doesn't like the digital calendar for some reason. I guess she likes paper, but as long as I can see the paper, it's fine. It still works for me.
Now we know that Billy has to use technology at work, and Amy, you're a teacher. Surely you have to use technology and you have to adapt to it, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm working on it, and I have some specific reasons why I don't want to use it yet. To make all good things work, we have to compromise. So we're in negotiations over the calendar for the upcoming school year.
Well, you bring up a good point. You bring up a good point. What are some of the compromises that you've had to work out? I mean, obviously with these two schedules, and I'm sure during tax season when you're both very busy, it's got to be kind of crazy. What are some of the compromises that have been most memorable? We'll start with Billy. What do you think?
Memorable compromise. about half the year I always plan a 30 weeks out of the year, I'll put it that. I plan the church softball team once a week on Thursday nights. So there is usually the first Thursday of every month. Amy usually has a meeting to go to, and sometimes some other random meetings too. So, and in the past, it was very hard for me to give that up because I like going out and playing with the friends and kind of socializing. I'd like to say most of the people from the team are from church, but I'd say probably half are, and half are friends as well. But still, it's a time to get out there and my one day of exercise. But it just comes to a point where I probably could find childcare to watch the kids, but at the same time, there's really no reason to throw them somewhere just for one night, because there's always next week, and I don't have a big contract. I'm not making a bunch of money playing softball. It's just for fun. So,
in the church league.
I would say that's probably one of the bigger compromises I've had, and I just know there's certain nights I can't make it, and
then I don't need to be there in charge. I have somebody else I can put in charge in good hands. But that's probably one of my biggest compromises I've had.
And the church team, obviously, I'm sure, suffers on those nights. why are you laughing, Amy?
maybe not. Sometimes it might be a benefit, but you never know.
Now, Amy, I was referring to the nights he's not there that they suffer.
Right, yeah.
So, Amy, tell us some about one of the most memorable compromises that you think that you've had to work out.
Oh, you know what it is for me is I really do enjoy my job, and I think that that's a blessing that I get to love it so much and be so passionate about it. But in the nature of the work that I do apart from my 9-to-5 job, you know, the teacher training that I do and these other opportunities that Billy's referenced and that I've referenced a little bit, you know, some of these committees I get to serve on, you know, all these different ways that I get to contribute to education. It really is one of those situations where there are more opportunities than hours in the day to be able to contribute. And I really am the kind of person where I really like to do that work. I want to be there. I want to be part of it. I want to be training teachers. I want to be making things better. But I've had to learn to find a little balance there too, especially in tax season. So tax season, you know, in the spring, we have a big push for our new teachers. They do a teacher induction program, and they throughout the first 2 years of teaching, they have certain classes they need to take. So you can imagine that in the springtime, that's when they really crank up the volume on taking the classes because they want to make sure that they finish everything before their deadline comes. So there are a lot of opportunities for training in the spring, and that's tax season. So I've had to really, you know, look inside and think about balance and think about what's best for my family and really decide, you know, which of those opportunities do I take and which of those opportunities do I say, well, not this time. So that's been the biggest thing for me to kind of struggle with and try to figure out with Billy without making him feel bad about having to be at work, without, you know, giving him that puppy face that's like, please, you know, not work so late so that I can go, you know, and just being respectful of the fact that he needs to do his job as much as I need to do my job, and we need to make sure that these kids are taken care of, you know. Just knowing that I don't have to say yes to everything and that it'll be in good hands and it'll be okay.
That's a very insightful about your career and your vocation as wife and mother. Very insightful. And you talked about how it's so hard to sometimes pass up those things that you're so passionate about and things that you care about, but all for the things that you see as important in your family.
Yes.
And how you love your job so much. And that's what I'd like to get to here in just a second, too, is about the things that you find, that you both find as the joys in your career. Today, we're talking with Amy and Billy Ballins of Tampa, Florida, and how they maintain balance in the Ballins family. And if you would like to join the conversation, you can call us here in the studio at 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727 if you're calling from outside the St. Louis area. Or you can email us in the studio at family@kfuo.org. So you both have careers that you seem to love, that you really seem to be passionate about. Billy, what would you say are the, what is the joy in your career? What is it that you really enjoy doing?
I like working working with the clients is definitely a joy sometimes because there are, you get to meet a lot of great people, a lot of new people. I can't say that about everybody, but for the most part, I think I am helping them in a way, too, and helping them understand whether it's just helping them grow their business or possibly just run it a little bit better so they're more successful. And I also like the office I worked at. I already talked about the owner, but we also have about 5 or 6 other people here, and they're just great people here. There's no drama. Everybody's nice to each other. I mean, it's a joy to come to work because you're not really dreading anything. Just the people you work with, I think, sometimes can make it difficult. And when it's easy to come to work that way and to a degree have a little bit of a flexible schedule, it just makes things a little bit easier. I mean, it's definitely a demanding job, and it definitely takes a lot of time. But when you have those other things, you can say, hey, I don't have to worry about these things. I just have to worry about getting the job done and get it done on time. It makes it more enjoyable.
I agree. It does make a big difference when you enjoy where you work, when you appreciate the people around you, and you feel appreciated too. You have a good team to work with, and I can relate to that. We have a great team here at KFUO, and it's been a joy in just the short time that I've been here in under a month, and the people that I get to work with, so that it makes it easier to get up and go to work in the morning and come in. And so that, I'm sure, in turn makes it easier to follow through on the things that you need to do at home as well.
I don't come home in a bad mood or anything. I mean, if I'm not happy when I'm coming home, it's just the pressure of getting stuff done on time. But it's not necessarily because of who I'm working with or clients or anything like that. I try to leave that at home, leave it at work, and just deal with it when you come back the next day. But yeah, it's just the atmosphere here just makes it enjoyable, and I don't think I really ever had a desire to work in a bigger city and possibly make more money or something like that. I just kind of like the smaller atmosphere, just because it's more enjoyable and less stressful, and we can still survive. I mean,
yeah. Our guest yesterday mentioned that he has an hour long commute from his home to the city where he works, and he said he uses that hour to decompress or to diffuse all that he had to deal with at work. Now he's a firefighter, and some days it's pretty challenging, and some days I'm sure it's pretty stressful. And I can imagine dealing with clients and taxes, especially during tax season, can be a bit stressful when you're getting down to the wire, getting close to April 15th, and some folks are getting pretty stressed out. So,
yeah, I mean, that's what we always tell our clients. It's like, if you had to do your whole job, a year's worth of work in 3 months, you would need an extension too. It's just not possible. We do the best we can, but we get it done before the extension's done. Just talking in tax speak here, but yeah, it's hard to do everything all at once, because it's just not possible. But you just do the best you can, and clients appreciate that too, as long as you're honest with them and you say, we're working on it, but it may not be done, or maybe, and it's just, but I mean, for the most part, most of them are very reasonable. So that's why I don't have as stressful of a job either, because of the clients make it that way as well.
Now, do you ever get confused about whether or not you're at work or at home, and when you have that client who is doing everything last minute, and then you start talking to them like you do the kids?
Wait,
maybe your employer's listening. We shouldn't talk about that.
there's a few clients that I always tell this to new clients too. I said, if I need a new roof, I'm going to call you. I'm not going to do my roof. So I understand you're coming to me because this is what we do. So, I mean, I don't ever get mad or anything like that. But sometimes, yeah, it's something you don't understand, because I don't understand how to roof my own house. So, I mean, so I just have to sit there and explain things a little bit. But that's okay. I mean, that's just part of your job, and that's how you do it. That's what you're there for. You're there to help them.
But you don't use the same tone you do with the kids, right?
No, I don't use the same tone.
I thought you were going a different route, Andy. I thought you were going to talk about being at home and doing the bills at home and how I was about to get in trouble. I was like, thank God, Andy. I don't appreciate you bringing up my financial business.
So
I'm the one who gets to talk to you.
So I guess that is the next question. Who manages the checkbook at home?
I do.
That would be Billy, huh?
Yes,
leave that to the professional. And then the educational matters are handled by the teacher at home. Is that right?
Yes, and many other things too, but yes.
He's good with homework. He does a good job with them.
Especially the math part, right?
Right.
Well, we are talking with Amy and Billy Ballins of Tampa, Florida, and about their busy life and how they're managing to keep things balanced in the Ballins family. And we're going to talk more with them in just a little bit right after this break about what goes on at home in the Ballins family. So stick around, and we'll finish up the hour with family life for the Ballins family on Faith and Family.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of Inspiration in Action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Here's a perfect example of how incremental pro-life legislation is saving lives of unborn babies. In this case, a Virginia law requires abortion mills to have the same level of medical care as other surgical outpatient facilities. It's a common sense step toward our ultimate goal of protecting all babies and mothers. The largest abortion mill in Virginia wasn't able to meet the requirement for better medical standards, so it closed. This is obviously great news for babies, but it's also incredible news for women in the area. The owner, Abortionist, has a long, shoddy record of botching abortions and maiming women. Because of this incremental pro-life law, everyone wins, except those who'd line their pockets with the blood money of abortion. Please pray this mill stays closed permanently.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Some people feel that they don't deserve God's forgiveness and grace. This is John Fuller, and on the next Focus on the Family, God's grace is for all, no matter what. And Liz Curtis-Higgs knows that. Learn how this self-proclaimed bad girl became God's girl. That's on the next Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Weekdays at 9:30 on KFUO.
You used to change my diapers.
Take care of me 24 hours a day.
Send me to school.
Mom.
Dad, I need you.
There's all these things I'm feeling that I've never felt before.
I need to know about having a boyfriend.
I need you to set limits.
I need you to tell me where you stand.
Help me make the right choices.
Mom. Dad, talk with me. You always say I can talk to you about anything.
A message from the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services.
Hi, I'm Pastor Doug Nicely. We forget sometimes that St. Paul was Jewish and he wasn't a Protestant, like many of us are. St. Paul wrote to the Galatians, "We ourselves who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ." And that's an important statement for St. Paul to make, an important reality that he had to learn. We all need to learn it anew. And we're going to talk about that this week on In His Steps.
Religious leaders who've been calling for immigration reform are pressing Congress to complete action on what they're calling a moral imperative. At a prayer service on Capitol Hill, the Reverend Gabriel Salguero, who heads the National Latino Evangelical Coalition, said,
Congress needs to hear.
El Congreso necesita escuchar.
We can do better than this.
Nosotros podemos hacer mejor que esto.
We can fix a broken immigration system.
Nosotros podemos arreglar.
Congress is preparing to break for a month-long summer recess at the end of next week without action in the full House on any immigration legislation, even after the Senate passed a bill last month that would create a path to citizenship for the 11 million immigrants already in the country illegally. Sojourners President, the Reverend Jim Wallace, declared,
how we respond to 11 million people is how we respond to Jesus himself.
I'm Steve Coleman.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates, and Faith and Family is underwritten by Concordia University, Wisconsin. If you'd like more information, you can visit our website, kfuoam.org. Go to the sponsor section and click on Concordia University, Wisconsin. Well, today we are talking with more busy parents about their life and how they manage family life and being a part of their congregation, active part of that. We've been talking quite a bit about their careers, and I want to get a little bit back to, we get to talk about Billy's favorite part of his career and the joys for him. I want to hear from Amy about the joys in your career as well.
Oh, I really am very blessed by my career and what I get to do on a day-to-day basis. I've known I wanted to be a teacher since I was in kindergarten, and thankfully had some phenomenal teachers of my own, one in particular that really just encouraged me to pursue it so that I could do it. And so, I went to school to become a teacher, and then I became a teacher and started teaching at high school social studies. That's where I've always been. And, you know, to the early part of my career, the joys really came in the work that I did directly with the kids, because you have such an opportunity to change and inspire kids' lives. And I took that responsibility very, very seriously, and I could see the impact that it was having. You know, that you teach a kid to dream, and you teach them how to use education to be that vehicle to make sure that any dream they have is possible. Now in my career, I work more with adults. I work with the teachers. And I remember the day I had to tell my kids that I was leaving the classroom, because I had been with them a couple years, and I remember we were all crying. But I remember looking at them and saying, the only reason I can leave you is because I know in the next job I get to do, I get to make more teachers who are going to take better care of you. And that's what I've been blessed to do the last 40 years, is work to make better teachers, teachers who understand the responsibility they have to using education to make people's lives better. So that is incredibly rewarding to me, and that is why I feel like I can give it so much time, because I know that the impact it's having on all this potential, these potential little lives that can go out and do so much if they just get the right kind of encouragement like I had from my teachers.
So you've had the opportunity to, it sounds like the joys in your career have not only been with working with the teachers, but certainly working with the children. And now you both have been blessed with children of your own. So let's talk about your family now. When did the Balance family come about? What's the origin of the Balance family, Billy?
Amy and I have been married for quite a few years now. Back in 2002 is when we first got married, so we're coming up on 11 years. But we waited a few years, and our first bundle of joy came around in 2007. Xander was born. He is now 6, and Bella was born 2 years after that. She's now 4. I'd have to say I'm very blessed. They're just great kids, and even like you mentioned before, when Amy was out of town these last few days, I mean, the kids, they're just great. It makes it enjoyable to be at home, because there's always your few moments, but they're great to be around. There's no grief, and it's just, it makes my life happy too. I mean, because I can see they are happy as well.
So how did you get kids like that? What'd you do?
Prayer, Andy, yeah. Clearly. A good baptism that took. You know, it is so much that they are a gift. You know, I don't know that either one of us can take any kind of credit for that, because I just believe that they've got a great purpose, and we're lucky to be the people God chose to put in charge of them to get them to that purpose that they're going to get to fulfill one day. So, no, I don't think, like I said, it's certainly not something we plan or are strategic about. It's just every day we're lucky that God just shows us what to do next with them.
I think it also helps, too, that they have, ever since I think they've been one, they've been pretty much in the Word as far as going to our daycare, which is at our church. And even now that Xander's now going into first grade, he still gets to go to after-school care at our church. So he still gets some teaching there, and, of course, we try to go to church every week as well. So just being in the Word, or at least even if they may be coloring while they're sitting in the pew aisle, they're still hearing it, even if they may not be comprehending it at the moment, I guess. They're still there in the Word and amongst everything.
So obviously Lamb of God in Lithia, Florida is your congregation, yes. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
So what, you mentioned childcare there. Tell us a little bit more about that. Amy?
It has dramatically changed our life having that childcare available to us. We were a mission congregation, and we decided early on when we were starting up our church, that was going to be our ministry, that we were going to use a child care center to reach out to our community and bring unchurched people to church and kind of start with giving them a reason why they need the church, child care. And then you can bring the Word of God to the kids, and then through the kids they start to bring the parents, and it's got this beautiful, beautiful effect. So our congregation has stood behind making sure that our child care center can be. And it's been rocky at times. It's been really, really hard. But despite all those obstacles, you know, it's there. God lets it be. The economic crisis that hit a few years ago almost should have made us close, and it didn't. And I think it's because of the work that we do through the Child Care Center. And I can say that so strongly because I know the work it does in our lives. What Billy described is 100% true. You know, there's only so much I can do with my kids because I'm away from my kids almost 10 hours a day. But because we can put them in a place where they're hearing about the love and joy and peace of Jesus on a daily basis in everything they do, then I know that they're growing the right way. They're growing spiritually while their little bodies are growing, because of the people that work there and their commitment and the leadership just making sure that's what those little babies hear every single day. And then our kids come home, and just like in our mission, they share it with us. We hear them singing songs, and they're teaching us the dinner prayers. And, you know, I'm just so grateful to have somebody else helping us, you know, that we can rely on mm-hmm. when we can't be there.
We're talking today with busy parents, Amy and Billy Ballins of Tampa, Florida, and all that goes into keeping their life balanced, keeping things together as a family with their busy careers and raising faithfully two youngsters. If you'd like to join the conversation today, you can call us at 314-821-0850 or outside of the St. Louis area, 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email us in the studio with your comment or question at family@kfuo.org. Now, Amy, you've pointed out that that Lamb of God, the Open Arms child care there, the ministry of Lamb of God in Lithia, has been a blessing in helping you, in supporting you in the work that you do as parents. There obviously have to be people on the staff in the congregation and probably extended family as well that are a part of that. Are there people that your kids have really connected with and fostered some great relationships with that you think are certainly shaping who they'll become and who they are?
I'll tell you some, and then I think Billy will probably add on. You know, when I think about specifically with child care, every teacher that they've ever had there has loved them. And I, you know, as a public school teacher, that can be a scary thing to say because we're so trained, you know, that there are very clear boundaries about love. But the beautiful thing about Lamb of God is that the teachers who go there are supposed to love the kids, you know, by sharing the Word of God with them. So they've never had a teacher that didn't do that for them. And that has meant everything to them. But then they've had some consistency there. They've had, you know, our director, Trudy, has always been there for them, taking care of them and making sure that the center itself is running smooth so that the teachers can do their good work. And then we've had just phenomenal teachers that just have taken our babies under their wing. You know, both of them have had Miss Peely, who's loved on them, and her husband is a minister as well. So she, of course, is ministering to them on a daily basis. And then we're very, very blessed that one of our closest family members, our closest friends, who's really a family member now, she works there. Her name is Katie, and she has done so much. Oh, Billy's got to talk now.
Yeah, they've. She's always been there for us, and definitely helped shape our kids as well. And I believe Bella will have her this year for pre-VPK this upcoming school year. And I know she's definitely looking forward to that. It's probably both of them, Katie and Bella. But And of course, our pastor is there, Absolutely. Pastor Wood, and he's definitely there for gives great instruction. They have, I believe, they have chapel each week, and I know Sandra doesn't get that anymore because it's just an after-school care. But Bella gets it every week, and she gets her. They have a special day of singing, which also Katie leads for Singspiration every week, and they've definitely had some great teachers.
You know what's cool about it is that the pastor isn't just some guy that stands up at the front of the church on Sunday. Like you said, they have like a real relationship with him. Like, the funnest thing for us to see on Sunday is when Pastor and Xander get into the high five contest, where Xander tries to see how hard he can high five Pastor's hand, and then Pastor increases the difficulty so that he challenges Xander to the high five. You know, which seems like such a small thing, but as a parent, that's such a huge thing to me, that my kids will give their pastor a hug, that they'll talk to him and play with him, because that's just going to mean later on when they need him, they're going to be able to go to him.
Sure, that there's a relationship there that opens the door for them to talk about the bigger and more important things than just a high five. That relationship has been forged. So when it comes time to talk about to study the word, to ask those difficult questions about all those difficult questions that usually come down to what does this mean. They're able to have those conversations comfortably, and I hear what you're saying. That's so important and so valuable. Well, obviously, the Lamb of God has played an important role in your life as a family, not just the childcare, but also the congregation as well. Are there any other aspects of congregational life that you're involved in or that you want to mention today, Billy?
We try to. We do different activities throughout the year, whether it's we just had a vacation Bible school recently or other little things that go on during the year. I try to do some of the financial stuff for the church, too, so I try to stay a little bit involved in there as well. Not as much as I used to be, but I still try to help out. And I know Amy does some different things, too, to help out, at least with the child care.
You know what's really neat, Andy, because, again, I was thinking about this a lot getting ready for this conversation, how God's let us use the skills that we've developed at work to further his work. Mm-hmm. You know, and Billy just mentioned very quickly that he helps with financial stuff, but he's been doing that for as long as he's been working as an accountant, you know, being the secretary for the church, you know, getting deposits done and making sure that stuff's in order so that they can depend on that stuff being in order. So God found a way to use his skills to make sure that there's stability in the congregation there. And then I've just been amazed at how many different ways I've been able to use the things that I learned at work. You know, Billy talks about Vacation Bible School. That's a more, you know, tangible or concrete connection to teaching. And he and I used to do youth group when we were at Emmanuel. So I was able to use my teaching skills there. But then when God switched me to being a mentor, you know, an instructional coach as my daytime job, it was funny how I saw ways to use that at the church, too, to do some coaching and mentoring of the leadership staff at the child care center. Even though I don't work with early childhood education, he was still able to use my skills to be able to contribute back. So that's just been amazing to me, how God has worked to take the stuff that we you know, again, do it our job and to get to use it for him. And that's just been really profound to me lately, kind of thinking on that.
Absolutely. To be able to use the gifts and talents you've been given, and some of those come in the forms of things that you've been trained to do, you know, not necessarily natural or innate things, but things that you've been educated and trained to do and how you can use those to serve in his church and really contribute to a faithful life together, as our church body talks about our emphasis now is witness, mercy, and life together, how great it is to be able to use those gifts and talents and contribute to that koinonia, that fellowship and life together. Well, speaking of life together, you know, we've talked about a lot of the pretty things. we've talked about the good. Now it's time to get a little bit more into the bad and the ugly, which actually probably turns out to be the good stuff, too. No family is perfect, and we've talked about some of the compromises. How do you deal with each other in the family. And this could be between husband and wife, parent and child. How do you deal with each other when you fail, when you don't make it to pick up somebody on time, or when you get your schedules mixed up, when you disappoint one another? How do you deal with that? Amy, what's your perspective? How do you deal with that in the Balance household?
We yell at each other. No,
that's okay.
It's not pretty. You know, you're married. I'm sure lots of people have lived there. You know that, like, we do. We're married to sinners, right? That's one of the things that I always know you say.
Right.
And
I think we all got that from Pastor Wood.
I think so. We married a sinner, so guess what? We're going to have some ugly. And you're right. We do fail each other, you know, probably on a daily basis sometimes. What I think where I have learned the most about my relationship with Billy is through my relationship with my children, strangely enough, because I work so hard to help them become the people that I know that they can be, you know, and I work so hard to teach them what God says about love and loving one another. And so early on, we were taught, and I'm sure it came from multiple directions, but we were taught that when somebody fails and somebody makes a mistake, ask for forgiveness. But beyond just asking for forgiveness, when somebody asks you forgiveness, say the words, "I forgive you." And that's really hard to do as a grown-up, because I didn't learn that until I was a grown-up. So I never practiced that when I was little. I come from a very loving family, and, you know, we forgive each other and we love each other, but we never, saying those words was not something that I had ever known the value of. So I decided I was going to try it out on my kids, a little action research. So I decided I was going to teach them that. And literally the other day, Bella does something to Xander, Xander something to Bella, really. It could be any scenario. but I heard one of them say to the other one, "I'm really, really sorry that I did that to you." And the other one, without any prompting, said, "I forgive you." And then they hugged each other, and then they moved on. Like, it was over. It was truly, truly over. So I've been thinking about that and how their relationship is so strong as siblings because they can do that, that I've been trying to think of ways to really make sure with Billy that when I'm upset, I say it to him and I give an opportunity for forgiveness to be extended and granted. And that just changes things. It just changes things when you recognize that in each other and can support each other that way.
Absolutely. There's power in those words. And that's why I think in our culture, we're so reluctant to use those words.
Yeah.
In our culture, if someone says, "I'm sorry," and you say, "Oh, I forgive you," in our culture, that typically puts
guilt, like you were guilty of something. We were.
Right. It kind of puts us on a power trip in a sense to say, it sounds like you're the powerful person now to say, "I forgive you." And that, well, who are you to forgive me?
Right.
And so it's so countercultural for us to say that, to say, "I forgive you," because it makes it sound like we're holier than thou when,
yeah.
Really, we're not. We're just granting forgiveness and mercy to the one who's transgressed against us. And it's hard. It's very countercultural to do it. But you're right. It's so very powerful in families. Billy, any thoughts from you on how you deal when you fail one another, or how are talking about forgiveness at home? Any thoughts on that?
I'm naturally a quiet person, and I don't like to talk a lot, and I kind of keep things inside. So I think probably the biggest thing for me, probably even more so since we've had children, is just better communication. Because when you keep something inside, you can't really resolve anything or ask for forgiveness. So I think just communicating more about any issues that we are having or just anything in general just makes it much easier. And I think it helps with the children, too, because they see us talking, or even I make it a point to try to talk to them about their day, just to try to get them to open up. And it's sometimes even funny just to see the two of them communicating back mm-hmm. and forth, that you can see that they're truly it seems like they're great friends, and they truly love each other too, because they do communicate, and they do respect each other, and it's a joy to watch. But I think probably just learning to communicate more, and that I still struggle with that sometimes. So that's but I think that's probably the biggest thing for me. Just to, if there is any issues, that's the best way to resolve them and learn from them too, so we can hopefully make things better.
And they obviously are, yes, we can learn from our children, and they are obviously learning from you and the example you set, which brings me to another question about extended family and your parents, thinking about how, I want to know, what are some of the things that, the effort and work that your parents did when you were children, how has that benefited your family today? I know that your extended family is very involved in the life of your children, but how has it benefited you as parents and then now as a family with children? We've got about probably about 3 minutes here. What do you think, Amy? Can you sum it all up right there?
Yeah. Wow.
how did the work of your parents in raising you, how does that impact your family now?
Yeah. You know what I am most grateful for to my parents is that they always kept us in the Word, and church was the consistency in our life always. And what it did is it helped, you know, when we had problems, when things are going on, my mom, we bring God into it, you know, and we always learned that in life, God is not separate from your life. God is the foundation of your life, and He is our parent, our father. So I always felt that my mom and dad did a really great job of taking their job of being a parent very seriously, you know, modeled after the love of our father and sharing that with us and teaching us how to be that kind of parent, the parent who sacrifices and knows why they sacrifice, and the parent who loves and know what real love really means, and the one that doesn't turn away from you, but you know, helps you through those sinful moments, and shows you that there's going to be a way to come through this together if we remember where our strength and where our heart comes from. So I heard that ever since I was little, and get to have brilliant conversations with my parents, especially my mom now as an adult, about what we learned from God about being a parent and being a family. And that has helped me so much in making the decisions I need to make for my own children.
And Billy, with about a little over a minute left, any thoughts about how your parents have impacted your family, how they impacted you, and how that ultimately affects your family today?
I would say growing up, I just remember always being together as a family. We always did things together. We weren't going in different directions, and I have two younger brothers, and it just seems like I always just remember being with them and my parents, and we were... whatever we were doing, whether it was vacation or just going out to eat or just simply sitting down at the dinner table all eating together, something like that. And it just kind of gave me the basis for a family, that we're together, we do things together, and I just remember the joy from that, just always being around together with everybody.
And it's obviously something that, because you value, you now want to pass on to your children, and it's clear in that by all the things that you've been talking about today. Well, it has been a joy reconnecting with you both today, and please give my regards to everyone there in Lithia, and to Xander and Bella, and the rest of the family. It has been a joy talking with you. Thanks for being with us on Faith and Family today, Amy and Billy. We really appreciate your time.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, tomorrow on Faith and Family, we'll be talking with Peace Officer Ministries Executive Director, Reverend Frank Rifato, from police detective to pastor, all about family life for him in that busy career. So thanks so much for joining us for Faith and Family today. We'll talk to you tomorrow.